League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, the strong and powerful John Madison. John, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, excited to have you on. John is a CPA. He is an MSPFP, a CRPC, and an AWMA. He's a personal finance counselor, speaker, author with Dayspring Financial Ministry. Excited to have you on, John. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for having me on. As you introduced me there, I am a CPA. I was blessed to be able to retire early from full-time work, at least, when I was 49. That was a few years ago, not too long ago, but a few years ago. And, you know, it was an interesting time in life because it obviously it's great to be able to retire early. But I think one of the things that I did a really poor job of through my career was really defining what's next. You know, it was always, you know, building the career, and I'm self-employed for the last 20 years. So it was always kind of building my book of business and didn't really, well, I did a poor job. Let's just be honest. I did a poor job of what comes next, because it's kind of like you climb that ladder and you get to the top and it's like there's nothing there.
Right.
Because you don't really know what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, I certainly knew that believed as a Christian, I certainly believed that God didn't bring me to that point in order to just sit on my front porch. I was 49, felt like I still had something to contribute, but really didn't know what to do or how to do it. And the last number of years when I was still working full time, I kind of got into personal financial planning as a volunteer kind of thing. This is not a second career for me. It wasn't something that I really wanted to do professionally, if you will. But it was something that I enjoyed doing and kind of utilizing some of the I guess knowledge I had picked up. My training was as a CPA, so my personal financial training was school of hard knocks kind of thing, and learning what worked and what didn't work. And so as that kind of fleshed out, once I retired full time, I did go back to school just for personal enrichment. I got a master's degree in personal financial planning and really tried to start fleshing out, okay, what is it that I believe? How can I because the audience that I wanted to speak to was not the guy that had $20 million in an investment portfolio, was just looking for a hot stock tip. It was more financial stewardship, financial management that was of more interest to me. And I really enjoyed speaking with and counseling the common man, if you will. You know, the folks that are, whether they're single or married, have kids, or early in their career, later in their career, just – I wanted to be someone that people could come to without fear of trying to sell something. I don't sell anything. I don't manage money for people or get referral fees from anything like that. Nothing wrong with that, of course. It wasn't what I felt that I was supposed to be doing. And so I really tried to synthesize and get into a very manageable amount of content what it was that I believed were the things that folks needed to focus on as they're managing whatever resources they have, whether it's a lot or a little, to do it well. Because there's a lot of voices, as you know, there's a lot of voices out there and a lot of conflicting opinion about how to do different things. And so I guess I'm just another voice out there. People can listen to me as well as listen to other folks. But I just wanted to kind of get my voice out there, again, from the perspective of just teaching people how to do this. The decisions of what they do are all theirs. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't manage money for anybody. I don't have any agenda other than just here's some sound practice. It is based on the Bible. It is based on what God says we are to manage his resources. But all of my clients have not been Christians. And you know, this is not a theological lesson. So I don't talk about necessarily Christian things as much as long as they understand it's going to come from that perspective. I'm not going to give advice that would contradict what God says. And so I put all of that together and I decided to self-publish a book called The Steward Plan. And it was a way to hopefully mass market or make something that was very low cost that people could put into their hands and read and understand kind of the perspective that I have on things.
Nice.
So that was kind of a long-winded answer to what your question was. It may be more than what you wanted, but that's what I'm doing now. And I'm meeting with folks, use Skype. So I counsel people across the United States and even in a couple of foreign countries if I had a chance to talk with them. And so it's just a matter of trying to educate. That's what I enjoy doing.
Well, amen. I appreciate that. When you were a CPA, were you in industry or were you in practice?
Well, I started off in public accounting, not surprisingly, like most people do coming out of college. And then I went to work for a client after a couple years of public, about 10 years of private accounting. And at that point in time, I decided to go off on my own. I worked with small businesses. I didn't do individual tax returns. In today's language, it would probably be more like a fractional controller kind of position. They didn't call it that 20 years ago, yeah. But that's basically what it was. So I had a small client list, working with small businessmen, entrepreneurs kind of guys.
Got it.
And was really just offering kind of turnkey accounting services for businesses that really couldn't afford or didn't have enough work even to have a CPA on staff, but needed a level of work more than a little bit higher than, you know, a bookkeeper or something along those lines.
Yeah. So you're able to retire, and then you went back and actually got your master's degree in personal financial planning, and now you've actually been doing the work of helping individuals, which I know how valuable that is, and I also know how challenging it can be. What has surprised you the most with just in general?
Well, I honestly, the thing that has surprised me the most is, I think the problem is there's so many voices out there. Mm-hmm. It's really breaking through to folks to take this stuff seriously. Mm-hmm. And we all have made money mistakes. You know, none of us are immune to having done that. And a lot of people will complain about their finances. I'm guilty as charged from time to time about the way things have worked out. But getting folks to pay attention to this has been surprisingly challenging. Mm-hmm. And part of it, I think, is because I'm a finance nerd. So I enjoy talking to folks like yourself. Now, I'm not calling you a finance nerd. Maybe sure. You are. But, you know, we can talk about this stuff because we have a mutual interest in it.
That's right.
But getting folks to really pay attention and how simple changes that they can make can have a dramatic impact in their financial success over time. This really is not complicated, and maybe it's a function of so many voices out there that make it seem complicated for folks that don't have that financial background. They tend to think that there's some secret sauce out there, and there really isn't. Yeah. At least my experience has been that it's not. It's a lot of good decisions over time and then taking time to get there. You're not going to get rich overnight. At least that's been my experience.
No, for sure.
And so it starts with 1,000 little decisions that you have to make and paying attention to this stuff.
And it all sounds easy, but does hard. And yes, I think that when we hear so much of it, it maybe violates our planning tolerance that I'm just not going to do anything. It's going to stay doing what I've always done because this is just sort of the orbit I'm in.
Yes.
What are some of those little things that are maybe some of the top things that you see and say, okay, if people could really just change these couple of things, that would make such a huge difference.
Absolutely. Well, and that's kind of the outline of the book, because what I wanted to do with the book was to walk through these areas that I think people need to address. And we can go through those very, very quickly if you'd like.
Sure.
They're the kind of the big topic kind of things. The first thing, and I did it off the name of the book is The Steward Plan, and I did it off the letter steward. So there were seven of them, and I kind of just walked through each assigning a topic to each letter. So it starts off with the S, which is to set financial goals. And it's amazing how many folks that I talk with that, and honestly, this is pot calling the kettle black here, because I'd set financial goals, but I really didn't set my personal goals for what I wanted to do, like we talked about earlier, what I wanted to do after I had some measure of financial success. But I think we have to start off with, where do we want to go? Finances are so easy to manage month to month that as long as you paid your rent and you've made the minimum payment on your credit cards and whatnot, you feel like it was a good month. It's hard to really get to those long-term goals unless you take the time to define them up front. So take a little bit of time to set those goals. The next step, which this is the one step that does relate specifically to Christianity, is to tithe cheerfully. And this would really apply to any other giving that you want to do. If you're not a Christian, but you do give, is to have the right attitude. Again, this is certainly specific to Christianity, of tithing, that God wants us to be cheerful, not look at what we're contributing to our church to be an obligation, just a bill that we have listed on our debts, if you will, but to do it cheerfully. Again, I think that speaks to having the right attitude about your money, that it is a blessing, and that you have a responsibility, but you're to do it cheerfully, not grudgingly, as far as giving. Next is to, and people don't like this, is to establish a spending plan. You can call it a budget. You can call it whatever you want to. I tried to make it sound better by calling it a spending plan instead of a budget. But I do think it is so important. It maximizes the value of each dollar that you have available, whether, again, whether it's a lot or a little. I don't think you ever income out of having to budget. You can make $1 million a year and you should still budget. In fact, if anything, the requirement to budget may even go up. Yep. Because you have so many more resources that you're responsible for. And that doesn't mean rice and beans. I think a lot of times people think spending plan or budget, they think no fun or, you know, I can't eat out. I got to eat, you know, terrible food and all that. Not at all. If eating out is important to you, put that as a part of your budget. Put vacations as a part of your budget. Now, if you're drowning in debt, you may have to set some of those aside temporarily in order to get your debts paid off. But again, a spending plan is just making a plan, prioritizing. That's all we're trying to do here, not take all the fun out of life.
Yeah.
The next is
John.
Is the W.
May,
please.
Were you somebody who successfully budgeted throughout from whatever age up till 49 or 50?
Yeah. Probably I had the School of Hard Knocks. So I learned the hard way, had a lot of debt earlier in my career, just did a lot of bad decisions, made a lot of bad decisions. Probably the last 10, 15 years now, been faithful budgeter. Actually, my wife, it's funny, she does the monthly budget. I'm here, I'm the CPA, the numbers guy.
So does mine.
But she does the budget, and you know, I handle more the investment side of things, and she handles the monthly budget preparation. But you know, she prepares it, and then we talk about it together. It's not her responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's our responsibility. But somebody has to put pen to paper, and you know, we're very old school. We still do it literally on a piece of paper with a pencil. But of course, you know, if you're an experienced budgeter, then you know as well that the vast majority of it is a repeat.
That's
from
right.
Month to month.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got over that hump, the first few months were difficult. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a difficult process those first few months.
Mm-hmm.
But now we spend very little time on budgeting because we've kind of got this system down. A lot of folks, I think, bail out on it after just a couple of months because it's hard. It's hard. And several times we had to kind of at the beginning, it's like, okay, this isn't going well. Let's take a break and we'll come back and discuss this. But one of the great things about it that, and I've seen this in coaching when I've coached couples, it strengthens marriages.
Yeah.
Because you begin to understand how your spouse looks at money. And money is an important concept in a relationship. It is. We like to talk about love and all this, and that's important as well, of course. But money is an important topic, and understanding how your spouse thinks about it is so important. And I know I learned a lot about how my wife looks at money, and she learned about how I do. And now it makes it much easier for me to understand what's important to her in the budget, and for her to understand what's important to me in the budget. And so we can both give, and that's, again, this is part of the relationship of a marriage. A strong marriage is elevating your spouse above yourself. So I want to put things in there that I know are important to her, and she's the same for me. So it's a wonderful tool if you stick with it, but it's going to take you 3, 4, 5 months. It's been my experience before you begin to get that efficiency down. Was that y'all's experience as well?
1,000%. And I still don't like it. I still don't like going through the exercise, and there's probably a lot of deep seated, just issues that I need to work on. But I think everything you just described is of such immense value. If people fail at most stuff because they stop doing it, because when stuff gets hard, we pull the ripcord and we bail out on it. But if you can stick with it, and if you can go through this exercise like you've been talking about, it will not only have the effect of you understanding your cash flow and where all your money's going, but you'll deepen the relationship with your significant other and have a better understanding and everything you just described. So, I mean, what a powerful thing. And if you can get that part right, I mean, you can get a successful relationship right, and you can get your cash flow under control, man, that's, you really got that foundation laid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that spending plan, I think, then kicks off or sets you up to really do efficiently with the remaining things that are on this list, which the next one is to wipe out consumer debt. Again, the spending plan maximizes the available cash flow. If you have a lot of consumer debt, to be able to wipe that out and eliminate that. And I'm talking about even 0% debt. I think a lot of times we try to high finance ourselves into justifying these debt payments. And even 0% debt, think about what's gone on in this country for the last 6 months or 9 months now, I guess it's been. And how many folks who were under financial stress with income reduction or job loss, you still have to make those 0% payments. And if that payment wasn't there, how much easier would your financial life have been if you didn't have to make those payments? And a lot of those financing terms, not to beat that up too much, but a lot of those financing terms, if you ever miss a payment, they go all the way back to the beginning and recalculate it at extremely high interest rates. So there could be a huge impact from missing a simple payment. So I'm just a big advocate of eliminating that consumer debt and just not having that as a part of your financial planning.
No doubt.
Then the next step is to the A, which is to accumulate diversified wealth over time. And I wanted to make sure I put in there over time. This is not get rich quick. It takes a lot of time of consistently saving. Even when you don't want to, even when 2008 happens and the market drops, or earlier this year when the market dropped so fast, so far, if anything, that's the ideal time to continue your investment strategy, your regular investments, your dollar cost averaging, you're taking advantage of those deep dips in the market. But I get it. I understand human nature. Just because I've got a plan in place doesn't mean that I don't get scared when the market drops like as fast as it did, well, I guess in February, March, it's scary. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it didn't bother me a bit. Of course it did. Nobody likes seeing their balances go down. But that's, again, where setting your goals, having your plan in place, it helps calm those waters, because you understand the longer term perspective of where you're trying to get financially. And today's dip, really, you won't really think about it too much. You know, how bad now was 2001's dip?
Yeah.
I mean, the 2000, 2001, both of those dips. Yeah, they're still in my memory bank. Yeah, they're still there. But I don't lose any sleep over them now, obviously. So in the big perspective, what happened earlier this year is a blip. It's a buying opportunity. Mm-hmm. So stay on your plan, look at the long-term goals. The next is to remove unnecessary risk. And here we're talking about having a an emergency fund. Again, how nice would that have been over these last 9 months if you know you did lose your job or had a reduction in income to have 6 months of an emergency fund set aside.
Yeah.
It's making sure you have the right insurances in place, you know, things like that. So there's things that we can't eliminate all risk, but there are things that we can do to reduce the financial risk in our lives. So I think we need to look at that. And then the last thing is to develop an estate plan. Nobody wants to talk about estate planning. Nobody likes to talk about doing their wills and dying and all of that. But I hate to tell you, you're going to. You know, we're all going to at some point.
It is an inevitability.
Absolutely. And as a financial steward and looking at my management as a stewardship, that doesn't end when I die. I think it's then the final step of my stewardship is making sure that those assets, whatever assets I have left, are sent in a responsible way so they become a blessing to people and to charities and not being a curse. You know, don't leave money unprotected to folks that it would turn into a curse instead of a blessing. And so going through the process of making sure you have that done is another, I think, important financial step.
I love it. Well, John, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I think it's to, again, let's tie back to current events, and that is to learn from the COVID experience, what you've gone through financially, whether it's been a little blip financially or a massive loss of income or whatever it may have been. Don't let this pass by. And maybe you have to find a new job or something like that. So it may not be something you can do today, but don't let it pass by without making the changes that you need to in your financial life so that when the next crisis occurs, and I don't want to be pessimistic, but the next crisis will occur, whether it's at a national level or a global level like this one was, or just a personal level with a job loss or medical diagnosis that's bad. Don't let this pass by without having learned what you can to not be caught unprepared financially.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on. We need to strengthen ourselves for sure. Well, John, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Well, the best place to go would be dayspringfm.com. That's as in Dayspring Financial Ministry, .com. That talks about the financial counseling. Again, there's no cost to any of that. So if someone wants to reach out via email, even my phone number's on there, they can certainly do that. Give me a call or send me an email about trying to get together and talk. Nothing's going to be sold to anybody, anything like that. So that's probably the best place for folks to go.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show John your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to dayspringfm.com. Check out all the great resources. Thanks again, John.
Thank you, George. I appreciate the time.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online boot camp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.